Dear siblings in Christ, beloved in the Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice
and be glad in it.
Oh my gosh, you're so crazy. I do not understand you. I said, laughing at my friend just a few weeks ago. I must confess, I have no idea what we were even talking about now as I'm trying to recall this story, but I remember very clearly that we were sitting there and we were having a good time, not being judgmental of one another, but whatever it was that we were talking about at the time, I remember laughing heartily and saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't understand why you feel this way. I wish I could remember what it was, because it had such a lasting impact on me that it must have been something really, really good. Or maybe it was something that I was just so crazy about that the conversation got really bizarre. But whatever it was, I can remember really clearly not being able to understand, not being able to relate to another person. Again, not in a mean-spirited way, not in any sort of a necessarily judgmental way. I'm sure I'd never be judgmental with one of my friends or family members or anything like that. Not at all. It was just very normal banter, conversation. You know how it goes, right? Yeah. You know how it goes. I know how it goes. We know how it goes. But I remember also thinking about how naturally words like that just sort of fall off my lips and fall from my mouth and even circulate around in my brain. I don't understand you. Even if I don't think that I'm being nasty or negative or judgmental about it, there are so many times when I presume myself to be a very smooth, easygoing, non-judgmental person, but it often does happen that I proclaim either out loud or inside my own mind, I don't understand you. In my house, I have been vegetarian for at least 3/4 of my life now. And for the last 10 years, I've been fairly strict about it. What I eat, how I prepare my food for myself. Now, for myself, it's not for health reasons. I know some of you often ask me if it's for health reasons. It's really not. I love a good potato chip, and I really love crackers and cheese. So definitely not for health reasons, but more for personal and ethical reasons. I choose to eat the foods that I choose to eat for those reasons. My own personal, my own ethical reasons. But I still buy meat, and I still prepare meat, occasionally, for my family members. Here's the thing, though. In my brain, I'm doing something really, really good for them. Of course, we can all eat whatever you guys would like to eat. I will make sure that everyone has something that is prepared for them out of the goodness and the kindness of my heart. Not judgmental at all there, right? You see where I'm going, of course. But I'm also really equally aware that I do expect some sort of medal of honor and great recognition on the days when I have prepared for my family stuff to make a BLT or a hamburger. And then I also go and I roll my eyes very loudly in frustration on those days when I have prepared some very exquisite, wonderful, delicious, delightful, extraordinary vegan onion and sweet potato rustic tart. And everyone just sort of looks around, eats it, and then asks when they can have ice cream afterwards. I realize that even in joking around, I do indeed often say and feel and genuinely mean it when I say or think those words, I don't understand you. Not understanding another person, not understanding another mindset, not understanding how one another in this world acts and reacts and interacts is part of being human. And this is what St. Paul is talking about with the church in Rome. He's not talking to them about being vegetarian or making good decisions in what you're eating for ethical reasons. He's talking to the church in Rome about how they see each other and perceive each other in such different ways. How they look differently, how they were brought up differently, how they do dine differently, how they're coming into this flock and this fold of being the church in those early days from all these different places. And they are judging one another because they're different. They've come from different family backgrounds. They've come from different areas. They have different religious experiences behind them prior to this, and they don't know what to do as they're all mixing and merging together. And the church is being judgmental of one another, and St. Paul is writing to them and is saying to them, don't judge one another. It really doesn't matter, all this stuff that we see on the outside. The way you look doesn't really matter. The religious practices that you've had don't really matter. The ways that you're eating don't really matter. How strong you think you are or how faithful you think you are doesn't really matter in God's eyes. What God really wants is your heart to be the heart of Jesus. And Jesus didn't care about all those things. Jesus went to those who were oppressed. Jesus went to those who were outcast. Jesus went to those who seemed to be marginalized and on the outside of what was accepted in society. And Jesus literally touched them and grabbed them and welcomed them in. St. Paul says to the church, the early church, you need to do this too. This is what God is telling us, is that we need to go to one another first and then go to the world outside of us and to just embrace one another, to welcome one another, to love one another. Not that anyone is better or worse or smarter or inexperienced above another person, but to welcome all of our differences. To accept all of our differences, to be non-judgmental of all of our differences. St. Paul says to this early church in Rome that God, through Christ, wants us to do everything that we do with integrity and with Christ at the center of our hearts, with Christ at the center of our lives, with Christ forefront in our minds, to do everything that we do in the love of Jesus, because Jesus has always and will always love us. Whenever we act, whenever we speak, whatever we are doing, we are to be as Christ-like as possible. St. Paul says this to the early church, knowing that them and us would continue to make mistakes, would continue to fall short, would continue to err, even if we weren't trying to or we did not mean to. St. Paul said those words. Jesus himself said those words to St. Peter, as we heard in the gospel today. Peter says to Jesus, how many times am I to forgive another person? Seven times? And Jesus says, not seven times, 77 times. To just forgive and forgive and forgive, to give another chance and another chance and another chance, because that is what Jesus does for us every single day of our lives. Jesus loves us. Jesus forgives us. Jesus gives us mercy, not because we are the smartest or the healthiest or the wisest or the most ethically brilliant, but Jesus loves us just because we are created in his image. Jesus loves you just because you are you. Jesus says this to St. Peter, and then he goes into this somewhat terrifying sort of parable that we've heard about forgiveness. And we've all heard the phrase, we've all said the phrase, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says to go further and further, not to forgive someone once, not to let something happen once and then the next time just to turn our back. Jesus says to forgive, to give another person another chance. Seven times? No, 77 times. To continue to do our very best, to continue to have Jesus' heart at the center of who we are and what we are doing. Not seven times, not once, 77 times. Jesus says this and gives this rather startling parable to St. Peter, I believe because Jesus wants us to recognize his great love for us. Because every time, whether it's on a Sunday or it's the beginning or the end of every day, or it's just going throughout the day and saying, "Dear God, I am so sorry that I have done this," or "I am so sorry that I forgot to do this," or "I am so sorry that I was being judgmental of another person." Jesus doesn't have some little checklist where he says, "That's it, you're out of forgiveness." Jesus forgives us every time that we ask him to do that. Jesus does that for us because of his love for us when he went to the cross. That is what Jesus asks us to do. That is what St. Paul is reminding the ancient church in Rome to do. That is what the scriptures are reminding us of today. To welcome one another always. Because that is what Christ did for us on the cross. To act in love always. Because that is what Christ showed to us about God's love. We are to love because Jesus welcomes us always. We are to love because Jesus forgives us always. We are to love because Jesus loves us always. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.